Okay, hi, friends, and welcome to, I think, what will be a very short program, but one must seize the moment. Today is the 18th of November, and I've submitted to you already program number 26. There are some changes in progress, and I'll work that out with Michael Gaeta, and we will maybe have a little different method. But right now we're on page 69. I don't expect us to get much beyond that. The segue from program 26 basically tells us never, let's make sure that this is correct. Yeah, I want to keep the original sound off. It says, never forget that in considering Shambhala and the plan, we are thinking entirely within the limits of the expression of the will aspect of the Lord of the world. And this, except for advanced initiates, who are advanced initiates, at least of the fourth degree, because an initiate per se is of the third degree. So this, except for advanced initiates, is well nigh impossible. This factor has to be accepted theoretically, even if not yet understood. Well, DK tells us that an initial phase in our experience of these matters is at least a theoretical acceptance. Okay. Now let's see if there's anything else here in the segue. Well, hierarchy, yes, knows how to repudiate what is not imminent. Imminent means that which must unfold at the present time. Their occult prevision allows them to do that. So the plan unfolding within the council chamber is contingent upon immanence, atmic realization, and pure reason. So the necessity of immediate occurrence is one factor. Atmic realization and pure reason are reflections, I think, of what transpires on the monadic plane and on the logoic plane. These three are called three aspects of reaction to impression from Shambhala. So he's basically telling us hierarchy is practical, not made up of mystical workers, and the aspects of the divine purpose which can be immediately grasped and developed and are valuable to humanity, obviously valuable, These are the ones that are registered by hierarchy and put into practice. Okay. Now, just a little bit. I know I always get into trouble when I start to rush anything, but the choice, well, you know, it won't be a program more than 45 minutes, something like that. So, there has to be atmic realization, and there has to be pure reason from the Buddhic plane. And we are thinking in terms of the will. Now, DK goes on to say, to these two unalterable requirements, the hierarchy contributes the faculty of pure reason, which is the governing faculty of the hierarchy and which brings into activity the quality to which man has erroneously given the name of love. Now we're talking about what transpires on the Buddhic plane. Must be fairly clear, because that's where the hierarchy, the majority of it, presently does its work. Okay. It is interesting that the term love is a misnomer when it comes to the faculty of pure reason, which is found upon the Buddhic plane and is the governing faculty of the hierarchy, or at least, let us say, the majority of the hierarchy. This emphasizes name love, I suppose. It emphasizes the sentimental aspect and signifies to the majority, very largely, simply the sentimental and emotional aspect, which is entirely of an astral nature. Okay. However, pure reason is not that type of love. And in the beginning of Rule 11, in the rays and the initiations, DK tells us we must eliminate all sentiment as we prepare for true group work. There are four demands, and some of them are eliminations as one prepares for Rule 11. So that peculiar interaction called liking and disliking, which is sentiment, has to be eliminated. Now, what about pure reason? The Tibetan says, pure reason, which is the supreme characteristic of the members of the hierarchy, will ever express itself in right action and right human relations, and that will manifest when present, what love in reality is. Pure love is a quality or effect of pure reason. There's one of those golden sentences which should stand out in our minds. So pure reason is the supreme characteristic of hierarchy. This we must remember, and not sentimental, astral love, the kind of almost instinctual telepathy. So I will accentuate that. And it will manifest what love really is. Now, this is something that we have to ponder, no question. And let's do that for just a moment. Pure reason is a quality, or pure love is a quality or effect of pure reason. And pure reason has that divine foresight, we must say. I think it can rightly be said that when the Tibetan spoke to his students about their particular condition, he was using pure reason. Therefore, true love and not sentimental love, the instinctual kind of telepathy. He had acute insight into their condition because he was using a pure reason to arrive at his conclusions. Now, there is an the second volume of Esoteric Psychology, a section concerning an advanced meditative technique, which is an initiatic meditative technique, and it deals with inclusive reason. It's part of the fusion approach, fusion formulas, along with isolated unity and presented attributes. I think we can get a fairly good idea of what pure reason is if we consult inclusive reason in that place. Okay. Let's go on a little, very little, unfortunately. Well, maybe later tonight something might be possible. We'll see. The pure reason of the hierarchical response is needed for the grasping and the comprehension of the purpose as it works out through the plan sponsored at any one time by the hierarchy. It's working out through atmic realization and is added to atmic realization being a Buddhic factor. As I say, both atmic realization and pure reason will finally, I think, be seen to be reflections of monadic and liberated monadic living from the logoic plane, rather from the monadic plane, and then the logoic plane. So, of pure reason, it works out through the plan sponsored at any one time by the hierarchy, and the quality of pure love is needed and demanded, even if unrealized by waiting humanity. Well, I do think we can keep this in the indigo color. So, first of all, pure reason is needed for the grasping of purpose, as it works out through the plan at any one time. And this is an important statement, although maybe humanity doesn't realize it yet, that humanity is demanding the quality of love, which it cannot have unless pure reason delivers pure love. Well, that's really something to think about. I'm sorry, I guess in my haste, I'm getting myself a little bit hyper here. Well, this is the section in which pure reason and pure love are seen as intimately related. And this means that Buddhic intuition is needed to bring about this pure reason and consequence, pure love. Love which is disinterested. Love which has nothing to do with how it pleases or does not please the one who loves, how it attracts the one who loves. This is a love which is entirely in the interest, in the betterment of the one or the ones who are loved. The going on with DK, and you know, probably only a few minutes is possible. Well, I should say, are possible. The impression emanating from Shambhala takes the form of a focused emanation, which employs the higher aspect of the Antahkarana as its channel of contact. Now, that's interesting that the Antahkarana provides a means, a method for impression from Shambhala to descend. Our Antahkarana at this time, being as we are, does not reach Shambhala. When it does, the Father will go forth, run forth from his home, the Father's house, and meet the returning prodigal son. As a matter of fact, we can say that our Antahkarana, such as we are building it at the moment, does not reach the highest levels of the atmic plane or of the buddhic plane, not even for a master. But some sort of impression is still possible without venturing onto those truly occult planes. Okay. I think all of this can be bolted. D.K. says further, I refer not here to the thread as built by the disciple between the mental unit and the abstract mind. Now, that is the first aspect of the Antahkarana, and that is actually a possibility. It's a combining of the four and the three to make a complete seven, such as we have found in the permanent atoms of the astral plane and of the etheric, normal etheric plane. So he's referring then to something else, and we'll kind of see what that may be, because, you know, frankly, we're just at the very beginning of building this rainbow bridge. And while we may receive some impression from the buddhic and maybe the atmic planes, we can venture only so high on those planes because of our present status. Rather, what he refers to, he says, I refer to its continuation, that is, the continuation of the thread, okay? I refer to its continuation through the buddhic and atmic levels of consciousness into the area of magnetized consciousness, I would say, such as hierarchy possesses, into the area of magnetized consciousness. I use this word, he says, as we have not yet the necessary word to express the exact nature of this higher awareness. And the term identification seems somewhat unsuitable. I guess DK is somehow showing the sensitivity which he applies when he thinks about the appropriateness of words he still finds himself rather confined by the language he must use. So there is a destined continuation of the Antikorana, as you know, the prodigal son is returning home on the Antikorana, really. I refer to its continuation through the Buddhic and Atmic levels of consciousness into the area of magnetized consciousness, which surrounds and protects the true shambolic center. And maybe we can say here that it is the areas of the triad which surround and protect the Shambhala center. This is really quite a book, and very demanding. Okay, so he's referring to its, I really haven't time to put this in, to its, the Antikorana's continuation, the continuation of the Bridge of Light. Some sort of Antikorana, I think, continues all the way to the height of any universe. Now, we wouldn't recognize those phases which thus continue, but we can assume that as there are Antikoranas between the planets and the solar logos, that there will be Antikoranas between solar logoi and cosmic logoi, and then supercosmic logoi, and on. The whole story is related to the great science, the supreme science of contact, okay, which surrounds and protects. It is essential that you bear in mind that just as the mass of men do not know, this is DK talking, do not know, recognize, or respond to the hierarchy, so within the hierarchy itself, you have a group analogous to the mass of men. There are many lesser members of hierarchy, and many, very many, disciples who do not know, recognize, or respond to the potency of Shambhala. Well, the analogy continues, does it not? Well, friends, it's I guess I have to take this up when I can again, although I'm quite close to another red marker, so Maybe I'll at least read it. DK tells us, within the hierarchy, the science of impression conditions the relation between senior and junior members in the various ashrams. All do not respond in the same way, for in its higher aspect, it is a science in process of mastering. He's telling us that although we may admire the hierarchy intensely, the members of the hierarchy have their limitations depending upon their own status. Then going on with the Tibetan, it might be said, in order that you may understand more easily, hopefully, that impression governs and conditions all those within the hierarchy whose abstract mind is fully developed. I'll kind of accentuate that. It is not fully developed in the case of many disciples in the ashram, and hence only certain members of the hierarchy, the masters, the adepts, and initiates of the third degree, are permitted to know the details of the plan. And may I interpolate that not even all details. They don't know what the three great lords know. But, DK says, they are permitted to know the details of the plan. These are protected by means of this very science of impression. The remaining members of the hierarchy take their orders from their seniors. Okay. I'm not satisfied with having rushed a bit, but okay. It is what I can do at the moment. So only certain members of the hierarchy are permitted to know the details of the plan. And I interpolated there that even they cannot know what is known by the three great lords or in the council chamber. They are protected. Maybe they need to be protected from too great a knowledge of the plan by this science of impression. All right. Okay, friends. Unfortunately, that's all I have time for right now. It went to page 71 from 69 to 71. And it's going to be the end of this tiny program number 27. But okay. End of 27. And the date is the 18th, and it went from 69 to 71, and we will begin with a lengthier program, probably 28, and we'll do that sometime. We don't know exactly when it will be. Well, I'll put this to the side, and hopefully it can be delivered to you as you think and rethink and rethink the material that Master DK has been imparting to us in this very, well, for me anyway, increasingly demanding book. Okay, so that will be it for the moment, and love and many blessings to you and to all students of this work. We, Tui and I, send that, and Mikhail and BL and Joe and Michael Stacy and Olivia and many people, Frederick, who are involved in sponsoring stronger and stronger communication, amusingly, via the radio. This is what radio has become. It radiates. It's hardly the radio of former days, but it's good, and we do have it. So, we'll be seeing you soon, and working with Tuya soon on the Sacred Pentagram for the full moon in Scorpio.